Hello, heroes. Welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot brought to you by Mortals, Descent of the Gods. I'm James D'Amato, your Game Master. Heroes, we are once again in Kickstarter season, and we have two lovely sponsors for this week. The first up is Mortals Descent of the Gods, who paid to have the campaign characters do an advertisement for you in the middle of the show, and I think you are going to love it. The next is Magimonsters, and they're our game for this week. Since the 90s, kids have grown up with access to Pokemon games. And an obsession for a lot of different folks who get into role-playing is how to replicate some of those exciting stories in a tabletop format. The folks at Late Night Games, that's Knight spelled K-N-I-G-H-T, have channeled that creative energy into creating Magimonsters, a Pokemon-inspired medieval fantasy game where players take on the role of binders who control magical monsters that battle at their will. Magimonsters works hard to recreate the complexity of Pokemon in a tabletop format in a way that players can digest. If you appreciate the mechanical richness of games like Pathfinder or Shadowrun, you will love Magimonsters. Though the game is inspired by monster battling worlds like Pokemon, it takes those themes into a darker place, exploring what a world would actually be like if monsters were living weapons. To show this game off, I invited on the crew from the Pokemon World Tour United podcast. Before we get to the show, I have a few reminders about upcoming one-shot Twitch streams. This week is the last broadcast of the Warda anthology series, Warda Glimpses. And it's going out with a bang, with guest stars Mel, Pranks, and myself. That's Monday at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Then Tomb of Annihilation is returning this week on Thursday, Friday, and a finale on Sunday. Next week, on the 30th, OneShot is streaming an exclusive first look at Monty Cook Games' Invisible Sun. Darcy Ross will guide Cat Cool, Alan Linick, and myself through Invisible Sun's unique character and world-building system. This is the first time it will be seen anywhere, so you don't want to miss it. You can find all that and more at twitch.tv/OneShotRPG. I want to take a quick moment to thank everyone who supported and watched the Dungeon Dome through the first season. Without you, I could not have realized my vision for this very silly concept, and I certainly couldn't have built it to the amazing heights it reached thanks to your ideas. A lot of folks have been asking what's next and if we'll release the podcast episodes to non-backers. I can say you definitely haven't seen the last of the Dungeon Dome. After all, our new challenger backer is still going to fight one of our existing teams. I haven't made any major decisions yet, but you'll most likely be seeing more from the Dungeon Dome in 2018. I'm also happy to announce that the One Shot Network has a new podcast for your listening pleasure, and that is Design Doc. On Design Doc, game designers document their process from inspiration to finished product in a podcast every other Tuesday. Our first season follows Hannah Schaefer and Evan Rowland as they create a new edition for their first game, Questlandia. I'd like to take one quick moment to thank some of our Patreon backers before we get to the show. Nicholas Corliss Penfield.
Nicholas Cortez Penfield, thank you so much.
This is where new glasses come in.
Keep blaming it on him. I need
Buddy,
new glasses, too.
I need
too.
New glasses.
I haven't gotten new glasses in 3 or 4 years.
That can't be true.
It's true.
I feel like there was a time where you had new glasses like every minute.
I know. Well, no, I just, no. What happened was I got one subscription and then I bought 8 new pairs of glasses.
So you got a subscription to glasses
no,
is the problem.
Sorry.
David Allison, thank you.
Graham Bing, thank you.
Thanks again to all of our backers on Patreon. And with all of that out of the way, let's get to the show. So let's meet our party for this week. Guys, I am really excited to introduce you to like a host of podcasters and like just generally cool people on the internet that I listen to pretty frequently. I come across them. And the first up is going to be Jake. Jake, I actually forgot if you are the type of person who releases your last name to the internet, because I've run into other podcasters who do not do that thing.
I will. It's Jake Mason. We don't on our most of our podcasts, and I don't know why. It's just like a thing that we chose and
That's
then
right.
kept
your
going.
Twitter handle is like Jake_Mason.
Yeah, but so yeah, it's fine. It's okay. Totally fine. Yeah, thanks for having us.
I am super excited to have you guys because we are within a genre that is like so in your wheelhouse that
I don't know. I have been like thinking of what game to have you guys on for a long time. And when this game slid across my table, I thought of you guys right away.
Well, thank you. I think because we play a Pokemon RPG, we are uniquely qualified to play this game wrong.
Excellent. I'm super happy to do that. For folks who aren't familiar with your work, where can they find you?
Well, we do. I personally do about 500 podcasts, but we've split them up because everyone else here is in them, so I'm just gonna talk about a couple. I edit Sailor Business, which is an episode by episode recap of Sailor Moon, which longtime listeners will know of as I think episode 100 and 101 had Chris Sims and Jordan D. White on.
Yes, it did.
For the Sailor Moon RPG, I edit that podcast. But then the other one is Pokemon World Tour United, where Alan, Josh, and I, and then Shannon is our most frequent guest. We go through the world of Pokemon. It's an actual play Pokemon RPG. And it's mostly about like putting Pokemon in cute clothes, and like trying to not do any fights because they really drag. So
man, it's going to be a tough sell for people who listen to my network.
Yeah.
For you to do a role playing game where people mostly don't fight and go shopping.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. So I mean, I guess if you're like real true gamers looking for all those dice rolls, you can also come in because we do roll dice a lot, just not like in any combative way.
And I have to ask, who is your favorite Japanese best friend monster?
Probably Gabumon from Digimon, because he has a coat of his future self on him that he is,
yeah, that's weird.
He is naked underneath and no one knows why.
Yeah, nobody brings it up. Like, and that's definitely part of his body.
Yeah, it is. Like, when he digivolves, he grows into it, which is weird, but he also can take it off and use it as a blanket for other people. Digimon's a weird show, guys.
I don't get it.
It's not for everyone.
God, yeah, I'm just imagining, like, the sound effect for him using that as a blanket being wet.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't unthink that, did you, nope. Friends?
Now every time I see Gabumon, I'm just like, oh, you're just sticky under there. Oh, no.
And Jake, who are you going to be playing for us this week?
I'm going to be playing Macy the Knight. She is the heir to Kingdom Town?
Yeah.
A towndom?
This setting, like, sort of, because I'm running it a little bit earlier on in the Imagine Monsters timeline, right now the world is mostly sort of, like, different fortresses that are around, like, smaller hamlets.
Okay.
So it's sort of like being a baron or a baroness.
Like a fiefdom.
Heir.
Fiefdom?
Yeah.
One of
those. I think it's fiefdom.
Sure, we'll go with that. Judges say fiefdom.
It's a fun word anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a...
A fiefdom, actually, come to think of it, would just be a kingdom based entirely around, like, flutes.
Yes,
it is. I was about to say playing the flute, yeah, and dancing.
Yeah. I was just about to ask if that was an instrument.
I'm deeply into a fiefdom.
Yeah, it's a real musical place. Really bad at fighting. Just we're real good at heralding fights, but not very good at follow-through.
Oh, we got heralding. Damn.
Yeah. So I'm playing Macy. She's the heir apparent to that. She's actually the second born. First born we'll get to. Some stuff went down there. Mm-hmm. And then do you want me to talk about my monster?
Yeah. Please. Well, who is your companion in this adventure?
So I got this big old salad horse named Mustang. it is a Mustang. Its name is Rhododendron, after the weed rhododendron that's very pretty but very invasive. And yeah, I don't have anything else past that. It's big.
Perfect.
Him big.
You know, we'll discover personalities for these monsters as we go on. With that, I want to introduce your partner for this adventure, and that is Alan. Alan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
I'm super excited to have you on, Alan. My first question right off the bat is, can you hit us with your plugs?
Sure. I'm the game master for PWTU, but I'm on a few other shows. We have what we call the Cool Kids Table, where we kind of sit down and we play a whole bunch of RPGs. And we usually don't do it correctly, but we do it in a fun way. We get close, and that's what matters, and we have fun. We try all sorts of different systems, but we try to come back to systems and kind of keep threads going. Our longest going thread is our D&D campaign. We've done things like All Out of Bubblegum. We've done Ryutama. We've done a couple of other different things. It's been a lot of fun. And then Jake and I, along with our friend Matt Hoadley, are on a podcast called Hard Reboot, where we take public domain properties and reboot them in the modern era. So we come up with new and exciting, well, hopefully new and exciting ways to reimagine these properties. Hopefully exciting.
Very cool. Very cool. And so people can check that out in our show notes. My question to you now is Japanese best friend monster characters. Who would be yours?
This is picking between my children.
Yep.
So I'm going to cheat and say two. Lapras from Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And Patamon from Digimon. Patamon because I love that adorable little rat hamster. And Lapras because he's a giant sad boy that sings and is an ice like Loch Ness monster, and I love him and he's my favorite.
Those are deeply solid choices. I have to respect that. And who are you going to be playing for us this week?
I am going to be playing Rowan, who is a concordant. He's a scholar who is Page may be the wrong word, but he's definitely Macy's companion.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't go so far as Page. I feel like even if that were the case, you have far too much dignity for that.
Oh, yeah. And my companion is an owler named Kyair. And I kind of specialize in wind monsters and have trained with the falconers in the city. So, yeah, I have an owl buddy.
Very cool. Now, I would like to turn our attention to the other side of the law. And to help us out with that, first I want to talk to Shannon. Shannon, welcome to the One Shot.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm super excited to have you on, Shannon. And I am even more excited to hear your plugs.
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I'm also a part of a Cool Kids Table. Like they said, I'm a reoccurring character for Pokemon World Tour United. I co-host a podcast called Kingdom Smarts, where I explain the entirety of Kingdom Hearts to Jake in segments of 30 minutes.
I actually haven't heard of this one, and I would.
It is glorious.
It's really good because I don't know a fucking thing about Kingdom Hearts. So it's mostly me exasperated and Shannon just like doing her best to explain it to me.
It's one of my favorite things and I can talk about it forever. So,
and Shannon, if you were to have a Japanese monster as a best friend, who would yours be?
Well, my joke answer was going to be something like Godzilla or King Ghidorah, but then I looked to my right and I saw like eight of my Mew plushies looking at me, so I think I legally have to say that Mew from Pokemon would be my Japanese best friend monster.
I'm really glad that Mew got you like in a legally binding friendship.
I signed the contract, so now it's my best friend forever.
And Shannon, who are you going to be playing for us this week?
I am going to be playing Isaac, who is a scoundrel trickster. I think I'm kind of like a con man that's going to be following around Josh's character because I'm just very interested in whatever mess is going on with him.
Excellent. Who is your monster?
My monster is a cinder snake named Arsene Lupin because that's both a thief and something you can do with fire.
That's incredibly good.
Perfect.
I like thinking of arson as, oh, that's a thing you can do with fire. That's an option that you have.
I didn't think of the word crime fast enough.
Heads up to all of Shannon's friends and I guess the police in Shannon's local municipality.
We've been ready for a while.
Yeah, we've known.
They'll never catch me.
We've known.
And finally, I'd like to introduce our last guest and last nefarious figure, and that is going to be Josh. Josh,
that's
welcome
me
to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Josh, first up, hit us with those good plugs.
I do United and the Cool Kids Table with these guys. And we also have Pokemon World Tour, which is the big sister podcast to United, where Jake and I go through the world of Pokemon, city by city, route by route, and kind of talk about what's going on and all of the weird lore and stuff in the games.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the granddaddy of all of our podcasts, mm-hmm. the Podcast Prime, The Morphin Grid, which is an episode-by-episode recap of all of Power Rangers. And we are currently about 10 episodes into Lost Galaxy.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we just passed 300, which is pretty great. And also, Lost Galaxy is taking its time to get going.
Well, I love anything that implies that things are going to be bad or boring, because that always makes for good podcast listening.
We're doing our best. We're drowning out here.
So I have to ask, of the Japanese canon of monsters, who would be your best friend?
My favorite son, Cyndaquil from Pokemon. No questions asked.
Are you a fire boy generally?
Not generally. He's kind of the exception to the water rule. And well, and now Rowlet too, but
yes. everyone loves that basketball though.
I was about to say, you cannot ignore the appeal of the basketball son. It's hard.
Well, no,
it's
he's hard. A solid number two, but nobody's going to knock Cyndaquil off that throne.
And who are you going to be playing for us this week?
I am playing Mark. I also am a scoundrel like Shannon's character, and I am the older brother of Macy, Jake's character.
All right. And tell us a little bit about Mark, because we do have a familial connection here.
Macy's older brother, and at some point I was disgraced because I may or may not have stolen something very important. I totally stole something very important.
Mystery solved.
Glad that's a wrap.
Not going to be hanging over people's heads as we continue the adventure. And who is your monster in this?
My monster is called Angaroo. He's a mad kangaroo monster with sonic boom tape on his wrists and ankles. And his name is D'Artagnan.
So with that, I think it is time to begin our adventure. And as we do with many adventures in magical monster worlds, we start this on the road. And we're starting with Macy and Rowan as they are walking a well-worn path together. In the world of Magi Monsters, it's a little bit more brutal and fantasy-themed than Pokemon. Picture a semi-medieval setting with lots of rolling hills, big countrysides, thick forests. But most people avoid the roads if they can, because quite a long time ago, mages and wizards created Magimonsters. These monsters were meant to be living weapons, but they were unable to be controlled by the people who created them, and slowly they took over the world, breeding out of control, and forcing humans to live in tiny fortified colonies. But at this point, probably just over 100 years ago, a magician created crystals that could trap these monsters and then allow them to bond with the person who imprisoned them to make, a more Pokemon-friendly aesthetic, where you and your monster are companions and friends and willing partners in a world of adventure. So the only people who typically walk roads either control monsters or are working with people who control monsters. And though it is dangerous, we find these two walking together on a road because they have just received some very exciting news. Let's start with Macy. What does Macy look like for our audience to picture in their mind's eye?
That's a really good question, James. One that I've put a lot of thought into. So Macy is about medium height, 5'8". 5'7", mm-hmm. somewhere in there. Very tall boots. She's a knight, so she's got just real tall boots. So she's about 5'9". It's slightly more imposing. I should also point out that I'm 5'4", so 5'9" seems incredibly tall to me. Josh, what, you want to go with blonde? Is blonde? You want to do a blonde?
I was going to have darker brown hair.
Let's go with darker brown hair. And kind of like a freckly tan complexion, and I don't know, carries yourself like a knight. I have, looking over my stats, I'm not crazy smart, but But I got a lot of gumption. So, you know, kind of like what that would look like.
Yeah, I feel like Macy just radiates gumption.
Oh, yeah.
There's like an aura of gumption. You can see it in her eyes. And it's definitely like in her walk animation and how she carries herself.
Yes.
Macy, actually, I think we'll have to do this through dialogue. Let's see. Do we know what Rowan looks like?
Yes. So Rowan is dressed in ropes. He has kind of a rope belt tied around his waist with a lot of weird kind of odds and ends. Like there's a string with a feather on it. There are some crystals. There are lots of pouches. He has a bag on his back that's stuffed full of scrolls and books and different things. He is kind of middling height. He has kind of a ginger hair, green eyes, pale complected. And one of the more notable things about him is he has a walking stick that's taller than he is, but the top of it very much looks like a perch. Because it is a perch. The staff itself is intricately carved. It's really pretty. I don't really know about this culture, but are our magi monsters allowed to be out?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if a magi monster is traveling with you, like there are certain people who might be frightened or wary of them, but if they're traveling with a person, they have been bound to a stone and they're not dangerous. Certain people might think of them as dangerous, but they are not.
Okay. So my magi monster, Kyaer, is on the perch and just kind of bobbing up and down as I use the walking stick. And their Drajul is on a cord around my neck outside of my robes.
Excellent. We join these two as Macy was in the middle of describing to Rowan why they are traveling the way they are. In the direction they are, I suppose, is a better way to phrase it.
So we just... got to keep going. I don't know exactly how we're going to get there. There were very bad directions. We just got to get to my uncle's. Did he die or is he dying? I don't remember.
He has died. He has died. Okay. And left. And like there is going to be a reading of his will.
We have to get to the most inconvenient will reading I've ever heard of. And the only way to do that is just this big old trek. So, I mean... I guess this is a good time as any to like teach me a little more about this kind of binding thing. I mean, I got lucky with rhododendron, but
my lady, it is best not to speak ill of the dead.
My lady, me, I hate that.
Fine. As for the binding, I'm sure that you would be more adept at it if you would, well, concentrate.
Look, I get that, but also counterpoint: what if I just feel it out?
So let's talk a little bit about Drajules and how they are. You riding on rhododendron?
No, I don't think so.
Why don't you summon forth rhododendron?
I will do that. My Drajule for rhododendron is like a green emeraldish kind of gem, and that is in a pouch on my hip. It's kind of like a holster for a quick draw action. Mm-hmm. So I will take it out and I will summon rhododendron, my big old salad horse.
So the air around you becomes pleasantly cool and has the scent of a fresh rainstorm as power starts emanating from this Drajul. You can see green crackling lightning coming out of it as it slowly forms the picture of rhododendron, who is a Mustang, a creature with like the body of a horse, but is covered in thick layers of drooping moss. It is beautiful, regal, and you can see from its eyes, it thinks quite highly of itself.
Well, it should. It's gorgeous. Look at it.
Now, have you attempted to ride rhododendron before?
I don't think that's a great idea. First of all, he's very tall. Look at him.
My lady, it is all about trust, and you cannot fear your magi monster.
I'm not afraid of it. I just think like it's got its own thing going on. It's very tall, and I don't know if I have to get up there. There's no saddle, so like that's, you know, that's...
I cannot think of a better way for you to build respect. for each other, not just of Rhododendron for you, but of you for Rhododendron, then for you to ride together, do what is the most natural.
Yeah, Rhododendron right now is giving you like a slit-eyed, suspicious look. It is squinting quite hard.
Yeah, all right, let's do this. Okay. And I'm going to like kind of sidle up to it as we're like still kind of walking. And I'm just going
to
kind of...
Under my breath, I say to Kair, if it bolts, follow.
For this, in Magic Monsters, generally speaking, a monster follows your commands. But it seems to me like we got a bit of an Ash Pikachu dynamic going on between these two. So I am going to ask you for an interaction roll, and I think it would be persuasion. Can you persuade Rhododendron to behave and allow you to ride them? And for this, I'll call for a normal check.
Okay.
And the way checks work in Magic Monsters, most of your stats are sort of predetermined before the game, and it just gives you a set of dice that you have to roll. So where is your persuasion?
My persuasion is in the 2d6 range. All right,
so you're pretty good at it.
So I'm pretty all right at it. I'm just like, it's all that pluck. People love that.
Gumption.
It's all that gumption. So
of wills right here.
I'm gonna
you
go
can
ahead.
Do it.
Oh, I wish it was willpower. I rule it willpower, but we'll do persuasion. So I am going to roll. I got an 8.
That will be enough. There is a tense moment where you sort of put your hand on Rhododendron's mossy mane and they rear back a little bit, but you stand there like determined, making eye contact with this salad horse. It lands back down and you put your hand on it once more, and it sort of droops its head and allows you to swing yourself up onto its back.
As soon as I land on it, I'm going to like wait a second just to make sure it doesn't have any other ideas. And then I'm just going to be like, yeah, look at me. Look at how high I am. Look at this.
See, my lady, I told you. It's the best way to earn their respect.
I'm great at this.
Hey, you there. You kids, what are you doing? You see, In the distance, there is a small village, and not too far out in front of that is a cottage. And there's an old man hobbling up to you with a cane, waving his hands and shouting, "You kids, you listen to me!"
Okay. What? I'm just,
yes,
hey, just
gentle
riding my
sir?
Super cool horse up here.
What are you two doing out at a time like this?
I'm on... Do we have a name for the place where we're going, James?
Gosh, I did not name it, so...
let's go with... I just want to call it Garfield, but that's bad.
That's not good.
That's a bad name.
Nope. You are going to Garfield Castle.
Damn it. Okay.
Garfield Castle. Garfield.
Garfield. Yeah, Garfield is good.
We're on our way to Garfield. Just passing through. Don't mean any trouble. Look at how sweet this horse looks under me, though. Totally right.
Well,
it.
I suppose you're in luck then. And he grabs some glasses, some like very rudimentary medieval looking glasses. And your horse looks a bit sick, but at least you're here okay. You've made it to Garfield. This is the hamlet of Garfield right here.
Oh.
And you couldn't have made it at a better time, or I should say a worse time. It's Monsters Night, don't you know? A chill wind sort of blows across the rolling hills in the area where you're at as he says that.
Monsters Night?
I pull out a book and I start flipping through, like, it's like a book of local customs and Monsters Night, Monsters Night, Monsters Night, Monsters Night.
All you need to do is make an education roll for that, I think.
Okay. Ooh, I have a D8, 2D8 in education.
Oh. Hell yeah.
Bragging ass Alan over here.
that's an 11.
My job.
So yeah, you know Monsters Night very well. Monsters Night is something that has different names in various hamlets and areas, which is one reason that Macy might not recognize it. But around this time of year, around the harvest, certain Magimonsters become more aggressive and dangerous and cause lots of trouble. If people aren't careful, they can get hurt. It is not uncommon for people to, you know, put together a lot of superstitions about things that happen on Monsters Night.
I kind of very as surreptitiously as I can. It's the night of violence, my lady.
The night of violence? What? As unsurreptitiously as I can.
Oh, you'd be lucky to see violence on Monsters Night. Monsters Night is horrible. Magic monsters will think of all sorts of things worse than violence to do.
Like,
well, luckily
lash out
we
at
have...
you psychologically.
Oh, that sounds bad.
That is very intense, sir, and we appreciate your concern. Might you lead us to Lord... To your lord?
To our lord!
And a chill wind blows once more.
Why, that crazy old coot, he's dead!
Oh yeah, we're here for his will reading. That's my Uncle Jobin.
Oh my god, you're related to him!
Yes.
He spits over his shoulder and turns around three times.
Oh,
also, it's very gross. Disrespectful to speak ill of the dead, sir.
He can't hear us?
Yeah, he's dead!
He's so dead!
Thank goodness!
I didn't mean to name him Jobin, but we went with Garfield, and now we're going with Jobin.
Jobin.
Jobin. Lord Jobin took up in Garfield Castle. That place is haunted as my beard is long.
So,
how long is this man's beard?
Oh, it goes down to this fella's knees.
That's very haunted.
Your beard is quite long and impressive, sir. Could you lead us to this haunted castle? I would like to see that for myself.
I wouldn't go near it if you paid me.
We'll pay
you. No, I would cotton to it if we're paid. Yes. Why, it's right this way.
Fantastic.
And he leads you guys down the road. Hey heroes, we're just taking a quick moment in the middle of the show to let Bacta and Tamlin tell you about our sponsor this week, Mortals, The Descent of the Gods, a cooperative 2-5 player battle arena board game. Enjoy!
Hey buddy.
Yeah?
Would you like to play a new game?
That sounds like you're trying to trick me.
No, I'm not trying to trick you or anything. When I was at Bike, I came across this game. It's called Mortals, Descent of the Gods. It's a 2-5 player.
Oh, like a real game?
Yeah, it's a cooperative battle board game. So it's a
2-5 player game.
And it's set in a fantastical world called Earth. And
like Eartha?
Well, yeah, like Eartha. So it's set in an ancient museum, but they would consider it to be a modern day museum, where you and your friends play as made up gods, like from a culture called the Greeks and the Norse and the Egyptians.
Oh, like the Tionians.
Yes, but they have been made mortal by Death himself, who is a guy in the universe of this game.
Oh, okay, so like the sun. So, like, the sun showed up to the Tionians and made everyone mortal.
Made them all, yes, mortal with the power of dead. And now, with the world coming to an end, you are being called on to fight death and unlock his secrets within the walls of this museum. So,
it's in a museum now?
It's in a museum. It was always set in a museum.
It was set
in a museum in a fantastical world called Earth.
Why aren't you playing this with Uncle Lin?
Lin, I figure if I can get you on board, everyone else just falls like dominoes and then we can all play together as a family.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you're in this museum. Your only hope is to regain your stolen power before death can summon an avatar of destruction and jumpstart the apocalypse. And the game is filled with iconic gods from this made-up culture and monsters from myth and legend, each with unique powers and abilities. So, like a kraken or a cyclops.
So, like the Pomajima guy?
Yeah, exactly like a Pomajima. Or an Anubis, which is like a gank, but it's got a human's body.
Ah, okay.
but a gank head.
Well, a gank with a human's body is just a gank.
Well, no, because it doesn't have the fur. It's just got the fur on the head, and it's got like the dog.
Like a dog face, but.
A dog face.
Okay. A dog face, but like just like a hairless gank.
Oh, well, yeah. The rest of the body is just like a human body. So it's got some hair, but not like a lot of it. It's missing the point. This isn't about real things. This is about fantastical powers and abilities beyond mortal ken. And you're locked in battle and working together with your team. And it builds community and it builds teamwork. And, you know, we all work together and struggle against the forces of death.
It's a board game.
Yes. And for those...
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have a Jarek board on the ship?
Well,
I looked at other ships, and all of their ships have, like, a circular Jarek board.
Yeah, and we don't have one because instead we put in that booth.
Yeah.
And the table on that booth actually converts to a massage table.
I don't see the point when we could just have a nice Jarek board.
Well, I was pushing for a Jarek board, but Trist and Alenik were both pretty sure that once we refitted the Monarch, we'd be giving each other massages like pretty frequently, and it rarely come up, but we do have all the pieces needed to convert the dining room table into a massage board.
Since we're talking about
mm-hmm.
board games,
right,
and we don't do a lot of massages.
Yes,
I that feel has been... like.
Okay, but we don't need the Jarek board because
we're not good at tactics.
And we're going to get better at tactics if we play Mortals Descent of the Gods, which is on Kickstarter right now. It teaches tactics through cooperative play.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't mind becoming better at it cuz I'm worried about how bad we are.
Okay, but buddy, you know, we've won a lot of fights. And we've survived pretty well through a lot of those fights. And I just feel like all we need is a little bit more, you know, inspiration, a little bit more tactics. And I feel like Mortals Descent of the Gods will help us do that in a fantastical environment. And it will help us work together as a team and family.
Well, you don't need to do the hard sell that much. It sounds fun. I'm already on board.
Okay, you're good. Okay, so you get Uncle Lin and Uncle Trist and Uncle Lenik. You tell them about the game and we'll set it up and we'll play together.
Maybe we shouldn't bring Uncle Lin on board. Now that I look at this, I feel like she's going to be really judgmental about what they're doing with this whole
Lin will be into all this nerd stuff.
Maybe she'll enjoy being judgmental.
I feel like pretty much everyone on this ship enjoys that activity more than anything else we do. So that is Mortals Descent of the Gods. You can find that on Kickstarter by searching for it, or you can follow the link in the show notes if you'd like to pick up a copy of your own. Be sure to back it before you run out of time. We cut over to a thick and dark wood, where we see Mark and Isaac walking together. Let's start with Mark. What does Mark look like?
Mark is dirty and scruffy. He has like dark brown matted rat nest hair.
Gross.
He's unshaven. It's not like a full beard. It's just like that gross stubble. He's got like dirty clothes, bags on his feet instead of shoes.
Just the hard times.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the hard yikes, times. Hard times.
Look, I was disgraced.
They didn't even let him keep his shoes.
I'll get.
Can I get a new traveling companion?
I'll get some shoes.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So he
that
looks
was part
pretty...
of your punishment is they threw you out and they're like, and the shoes.
Leave the shoes.
My pants are a little short because I had to cut the bottom of my pant legs off to make my foot bags. I'm a disgraced scoundrel as gross homeless guy, even though I'm very talented.
A former prince.
Yeah, so you're wearing your tattered capris, walking through the woods. And what does Isaac look like?
Isaac is about 5'9". He's very lanky. He's got kind of darkish olive skin with thick black hair that's pulled back in a ponytail that's just... It's one of those ponytails just barely containing that hair. And he's got some, like, moss green eyes. And unlike Mark, I'm actually dressed pretty nicely. But it's one of those, like, the more you look at me, the more you realize that things quite don't match. Like, I've just been grabbing whatever nice-looking clothes I can that they're probably not mine, but I'm making it work.
You guys have actually been wandering through the woods for a couple days. It's a sort of situation where at first, Mark really was very sure of where they were going when he stepped into the woods. And maybe after, I think, like the second day, his confidence really got shaken, though he would never show it. And you cut through these woods because you have a very important meeting to get to, or at least that is what Mark has been saying. We join these two sort of in media res.
We just keep going this way. I'm positive. See how the moss is growing on the tree? Definitely this way.
What does the moss growing have to do with knowing where you're going?
The moss points the way. Don't you know anything about traveling in the woods? To where we're going.
Yeah, I know about traveling through the woods, but I'm pretty sure moss grows facing a direction. What direction are you going?
This one. And I just continue down the path that we're... Are we on a path, or am I just kind of, like, making my own?
I think you decided pretty early on... you started on a path, but you decided that the path, like, wound too much, and if you were going to get where you're going, you had to go off the path.
Yeah, a lot of corners on that path. Not worth the time.
Not efficient.
No, not... I don't know why they don't just walk this way.
Speed strats.
As I am hacking, like, very tall grass and, like, shimmying between trees that are growing way too close together.
And as you are cutting your way through trees, you cut your way into a bit of a clearing. And through this clearing, like, you can see peeking out over the branches of the trees on the other side, the top of a tall stone tower, which you know to be the tower that your uncle lived in. That is most certainly Garfield Manor.
See? There it is.
Yeah, eventually.
Look. We'd still be way back on that path. It's so windy and twisty. It's not worth the time. We found it. I told you I was going to get us here.
Yeah, it was winding and twisting the right and correct way to this castle.
I didn't go the wrong way to the castle. We're here.
Yeah, but now you have a new layer of smell on you.
As he boldly steps forward into this clearing, as soon as he walks in, his exposed skin from his tattered capris, it's like bit with a bitter cold. You took a step forward. You know, it was probably a cool 64 degrees. You took a step forward, and all of a sudden, it's minus 10.
Oh, boy, that's cold. I'm going to step back from where I just put that foot.
And it's like you step back and the temperature is fine again. And then slowly, as though tendrils of some creature are wrapping around your legs, the cold comes back. Isaac, you also start to feel this as like just a little bit of biting cold starts to nip at you, even though a lot of the air feels just fine.
You know, if we'd use the path, I feel like we wouldn't be haunted by a cold ghost right now.
You can hear a voice on the wind whispering slowly. It's hard to tell if it's actually wind blowing through trees or if it's an actual voice, but it causes the hairs in the back of your neck to stand up. Go back. Go back.
I'm not going back. Go back. I'm not going to go back. The place is right there. Just let me go through.
See, now even the ghosts are on my side. Let's go back to the path.
Start pushing.
The way we're supposed to go.
Start pushing the cold off of my leg, or like trying to like get it off of me.
I'm going to need you to make a willpower roll for me.
Three.
That is enough. You stride confidently forward into the cold instead of going back from it. And you look around sort of daring life to get worse for you. And as soon as the cold arrives, it dissipates. The sort of unnaturally long shadows in the forest recede, and you are left with, you know, a kind of a normal autumn day as you see this tower peeking out above the trees right in front of you.
Hey, Jake, do we have a last name?
I've been doing real good picking names. Do you want me to pick another one?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go with Darlington.
Darlington.
It's the weirdest word associated. It's not even words. It just sounds until it sounds not terrible.
Those are how words work.
I'll just take a word and I'll keep adding suffixes until it's a name.
One of these days it's going to sound like a name.
Darling, Darlington. There we go. We did it.
Nailed it.
You win.
I'm going to turn to Isaac and be like, see, no ghost is going to mess with the mighty Prince Mark Darlington.
Yeah, those are tough words for someone with bags on their feet.
Are you coming or not?
I'm coming.
So we cut to an overhead shot of these two going into the woods, and then the camera slowly tilts up to look at this tower. And the tower is made of stone. There are a lot of chunks missing from it. It looks like it is in pretty bad repair. And, you know, looking at the tower, you can actually see the little hamlet that surrounds it also is in kind of not great shape. The farms and fields around it have rocks in them. A lot of the crops, even though, like, it's harvest time and most of them would be dealt with already, a lot of the crops have already started to turn brown and wilt, and everything around here looks sort of gray and sad. We smash cut to our two heroes as they approach the front of the gates. And then the scarecrows came to life and started chasing children around the square.
This sounds like a really bad night that you were having.
Here we call really bad nights every night.
Rowan has a book out and he is diligently writing things down, but the look on his face is kind of one of disbelief, but he's taking notes.
And be sure to write down that they had sharp teeth, because they absolutely did.
Yes, you've mentioned that four times, and I've already underlined it twice.
Are the sharp tooth scarecrows going to come out every night? Is that just like a special occasion thing?
Oh, you'd be lucky to see the sharp-toothed scarecrows. You'd see those sharp-toothed scarecrows and you'd go, thank my lucky stars, it's a sharp-toothed scarecrow, because this town has things that are 10 times worse lurking around every corner.
Oh, dear. What could be 10 times worse than sharp-toothed scarecrows?
10 sharp-toothed scarecrows.
Well, I'll tell you what.
He looks around conspiratorially and leans into you.
I'm going to lean into.
Skeletons.
Oh, Jesus.
He like leans back and folds his arms, looking incredibly smug.
If there's skeletons here, I have to go.
Really?
That's right. I said it. Skeletons.
Okay, we can stop with the skeleton talk. Bones should be inside people.
I was about to say, you do realize that skeletons exist inside your body, right?
Yeah, but I can't see them when they're inside people. I just don't want them walking around on their own.
My lady, I know you know that, but...
Don't my lady me.
Just this last week, Anthony Thatchboot said he saw skeletons walking around of their own accord on this very estate.
We need to go then.
Was Mr. Thatchboot drunk?
He might have been. As most people have to be to endure life in this terrible town.
Why did we come here? My Uncle Jobin is a dick. I don't even...
We came here because we had to come here because of your family, my lady. You need to act with the best decorum because who knows who's going to be leading these people next. It could very well be you.
That's a nightmare situation. Let's hope that...
It is a nightmare situation that could very well be your reality.
I don't understand. I'm already claimed.
I have given you lectures on secession and how it works.
Yeah, and that's crazy talk because I already am secessioned into another place that I can't rule this terrible skeleton town.
Well, there's a difference between can and made to.
And with that, huge doors that you're standing in front of slowly swing open on seemingly their own accord. At that, the old man that you're walking with turns around and runs the other way.
See, I told you this is a terrible place.
Sir, there is such a thing as magic.
I never got that guy's name. Was that Anthony Thatchboot?
In everything I've been writing down, he's just been Jenkins.
Jenkins.
But, I mean, it just sounded like the ramblings of a crazy person who doesn't understand that there's, you know, magic in the world.
Well, yeah, all the more reason to get in and get out before some skeletons show up.
Sorry to interrupt you two.
Is that a skeleton? I'm gonna turn around. I'm just like ready to punch a skeleton right in the face.
It's not a skeleton. Oh, it is lucky. A very short, pale man who is dressed up in like a tuxedo with tails and white gloves.
Are you Anthony Thatchboot?
I am not.
Okay.
Forgive my lady. Let me make introductions. I am Rowan. And this is the lady Macy Darlington.
Ooh, Macy Darlington. Why, that means you must be related to dead Lord Jobin.
Yes, I am. Am I still on Rhododendron? I feel like I would not have gotten down as soon as, like, and if there was some skeleton talk, I would have jumped right back on that horse.
Yeah, I think you are on Rhododendron.
Okay, I'm going to, like, slowly climb down, kind of, like, slide down, because I imagine it's, like, kind of like a slick moss. So I'm going to, like, slide off very cash and then call Rhododendron back into the Drajule.
Oh, wow. Monster tamers. I can't believe it. Yeah, this must be fate. I'm so glad you've come.
Oh, forgive my rudeness. This is Kyair. And Rowan gestures to his owler.
The small man adjusts his glasses and looks at Kyair.
What a fine beast. I should expect no less from someone in the company of a Darlington. This is fantastic.
That's all right. It's no Mustang. I mean, it's like a bird.
Kyair preens a little bit under the praise. Like, she puffs out and looks very pretty.
I am so glad to see you. This town has been beset in the final... You know already, then.
Oh no, they're real.
What my lady means is that we have heard rather outlandish stories. Shall we discuss this inside?
Absolutely. Come in. You can join our other guests.
Oh, there's more.
You are waved into the estate, and you enter this, like, palatial gothic mansion. The ceilings are incredibly tall and have a lot of intricate stonework. Portraits and tapestries hang from the walls. They are all of pale-faced men and women who sort of look down with a general air of disdain for everything that they can see. And because they are those sort of portraits where the eyes, like, seem to follow you about the room, they can see quite a lot. Whatever architect designed this place must have just been given the instructions, you know, just fuck our shit up with gargoyles, because there are gargoyles
everywhere. Fuck that up with gargoyles.
It is a pretty creepy place, but one of the things that makes it, like, kind of fun and cute to an outside observer who's not part of this universe is a lot of the gargoyles look like magic monsters.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's kind of nice, but also, magic monsters, I've been told, are very scary, so...
Yeah, they are scary, so in-universe...
Kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah, pretty terrifying. And he leads you into a sitting room where you see, probably for the first time in years, your brother Mark.
Oh, hey, sis.
Hi, Mark.
How's it going?
Pretty great. There's some skeletons, I hear.
Oh?
Yeah.
Isaac, did we hear about skeletons? I don't think we heard about skeletons.
You didn't run into Jenkins?
Jenkins? Oh, no. We came in the back way.
Yeah.
There's a back way.
Yeah.
Rowan's eyes have just gone to slits.
So good to see you.
Yeah, I heard about Uncle Job. Thought I'd swing by and see if maybe he left me anything.
Oh, yeah. All yours. I mentioned the skeletons. I don't want the skeletons.
there are some legal matters to that. Thank you all for coming, heirs and companions. I welcome you all to have a seat. Can have some of the staff bring you something to eat or drink. Or
that would be fantastic.
Maybe a new thing to wear. He says, like... Boots. We can definitely get some boots. Would you like someone to take your foot bags?
You can burn them.
Thank you.
He motions
some servants into the room. They scurry in, grab your foot bags with, like, some tongs and, like, lead them out of the room.
Under Rowan's breath, but not bothering to really, like, keep it quiet, Well, maybe he doesn't deserve shoes.
Ooh. Rowan,
be nice.
Can we also get a bucket of water?
Be nice.
That's my disgusting brother.
Be nice.
Hey, I wasn't always this gross.
No, you weren't. You were a thief.
A thief?
Okay, we don't need to talk about this at the dinner table.
You're right. I've lost my decorum. I apologize.
Wow. I can tell tensions are pretty high here. I will say that Master Jobin was somewhat cut off from the political climate in his last years. He used to be a great adventurer that almost single-handedly carved out the lands where this hamlet sits. But in his declining years, he traveled less and less. So I don't know if there's some sort of intra-family drama, but if we could separate it from the reading of the will and what is to pass here, I would greatly appreciate it.
We sure can. And I look over at Rowan like, right?
Of course. And actually under his breath, he says to Kyaer, watch him.
Kyaer just like...
Do I have to roll to hear that?
Not at all.
Okay. No.
If it watch causes me. Tension, you don't have to roll for it.
And I totally see, like, Owlers obviously having the owl, but it can go full 360 because they're magic. And so the head just kind of swivels around and then just stares daggers at Mark. That.
I would stare back at it patronizingly.
I mean, it's a magic monster. Like, it's not going to blink.
Yeah, it's going to win.
But I like the idea that you're sort of locked into this staring contest as the small man in front of you continues talking. Forgive me for not introducing myself to everyone earlier. My name is Horace. I am the head butler here, and I run most of the affairs of the estate. And the attorneys just went through the will, and it has been my duty to contact you, the only heirs that Jobin named in his will. You may or may not know that Jobin and your father, Regis, did not see eye to eye on many things. And though he favored you with inheritance, he left nothing to his older brother.
Well, Dad didn't really like talking about Uncle Jobin. A ton.
Yes, from what I know, their visits together were spare and tense. But he did name you two as the heirs to all his estate. That includes his lands and his considerable fortune and collection of magical beasts.
And his skeletons.
With that, the butler, like, sighs and, like, goes, well, I suppose we should talk about that.
Wait, the old man was not crazy?
Oh, no, not at all. The skeletons are a real problem, though by far not the worst of the problems here.
No, there's ice ghosts in the woods.
Ice ghosts and skeletons, this is a terrible
And apparently sharp...
place.
Tooth scarecrows?
Oh, I forgot about the scarecrows already. Oh, no.
Rowan pulls out another book and an ink pot and a quill. Please, just start from the beginning.
Okay. So back when Master Jobin was a young man, he came upon this ruined place, and he set about by himself the task of ridding this area of beasts and other horrible spirits, and eventually carved out enough of a place that this small town was able to pop up around it. And for many decades, this was a wonderful place to live. Very rich farmland, mines nearby, so many wonderful resources. But as his health declined, the wild monsters started to close in, and more unfriendly elements would roam the area until the final years when the town itself fell to ruin. Although my master Jobin was able to collect a vast amount of wealth in his life, it has done no good for this town. We have not been able to hire a single adventurer or sellsword who's able to command this place.
It's almost a blessing that the master passed, because now there's an opportunity for someone else to sit here, or at least give directives so that we might be freed from this nightmare.
This would be good practice.
I warned you, my lady.
Isn't the easiest way for everyone to just move?
Rowan turns and stares at Mark with the same kind of intense glare that Kyaer is giving.
What? I'm just thinking of solutions. I'm a problem solver.
Evacuation has been considered, but I'm afraid it would be quite impossible without casualties. I must say, I am impressed by what must be your strength and skill as monster tamers to have even made it here in such a group. Even if we were to move the entire town simultaneously together, I can only imagine that we would be beset by monsters who would tear apart our defenseless villagers with no monster tamer to lead them.
So we just gotta, like, beat up a bunch of monsters? I think we can do that. I think that's doable.
I can definitely do that, and I heard a part where people were being given money, and that's, like, my favorite thing.
Oh!
So I could definitely be given money and then beat up a monster.
Yes, young sir. Indeed, there is quite a bit of wealth that he has acquired in his life. All I have seen of the will is that the Darlington children were the only heirs named in the will. There are some charities that were favored with certain amounts of money, but the bulk of what I can tell should be going to the Darlington children. So you'd stand to make quite a lot. If that is a motivator for you to help this town, then absolutely please. There is a condition to the will, though.
Oh?
And that is that you save this town from ruin.
Piece of cake. Piece of crumb cake. We can do this. Right, Rowan? We got this.
And my lady, and I wouldn't be so,
I'll punch a skeleton.
So brash.
I can do it. I'm not going near any skeletons. I don't have to go.
You
forget this nerd with a book. I can do it.
Who is your handsome friend?
Oh, I'm Isaac.
Hi.
My protege. Hi.
Master Horace, no. If you don't mind me asking, you had mentioned something about a menagerie of sorts?
Yes. Sealed away in his vaults are Master Jobin's collection of monsters, which are also part of his will. As soon as the conditions of his will are filled, we will be allowed to open the vaults and present the treasures and beasts inside to those who would claim them.
Okay. Look, hear me out. Hypothetically speaking, would it not make sense to open the vault now, and then so we can use the monsters to save the town?
I can't believe I'm agreeing with a thief.
That's not in the conditions of the will, though. We can't. I mean, there's rules.
I am afraid young Macy is quite right.
Ugh, I hate that.
As much as I appreciate the simple logic of that maneuver and would have loved to have controlled these monsters ourselves to protect this town, unfortunately, magic monsters are quite fickle and will not just accept new masters willy-nilly. Our dear Master Jobin gave them very specific instructions before he died, and one of them was to obey the conditions of his will. They will simply remain dormant for anyone who is not their true master, and until the conditions of the will are met, they have none.
Master Horace, how much information do you have about the things that are besetting this poor hamlet?
Only a collection of rumors, mostly. We try to avoid, you know, going into the village, mostly because it's so dangerous, I'm ashamed to say.
So wait, there's just people just left out there?
Unfortunately, yes. Master Jobin was the only monster trainer in the area. We're all forced to just shut ourselves inside our rooms and hope for the best most nights.
Those poor people, that's no way to live.
That's why you have a skeleton problem.
Yes. Yes. Generously put, that is the predicament we're in. And no doubt you've already heard tell of the skeletons, but there is some beast that lives here in the attic and something that stalks the grounds of the woods. And, oh, just last week, the head maid was pushed down the stairs. I say pushed because she was so sure of foot. I know she wouldn't have fallen on her own.
So there's monsters in the house too?
Oh, yes, most certainly.
Oh, God.
Like this house?
We got a lot of work to do.
Well, then it would seem prudent to take care of the problem from within before we set upon the problem from without.
Or we take the problem from without and lock it in and we just forget about the tower.
That's a good idea.
But we get all the monsters in here, lock them up.
Well, but all the stuff is in the tower. We don't. We wouldn't get any of the rewards if
well,
we
Well, we just open the vault now.
We can't do that until the will is finished.
His attorneys.
Like your Uncle Jespin or whatever his name is.
Jobin.
Do not speak ill of the dead.
He doesn't know.
I used the wrong name. I didn't speak ill of anyone.
Rowan just kind of narrows his eyes. Fine, okay. He was looking for a reason to try to get you. He didn't.
Lord Jobin was a very cautious man, and his attorneys are at the capital. There will simply be no movement in the vault unless the conditions are met, I'm afraid. Again, I must impress upon you how happy I am to see monster trainers here. We desperately need the aid of people with your skills.
Well, you got us, for better or worse.
And like sort of anime action lines appear behind you as you say that and like pump your fist in front of yourself. With that, Horace perks up quite a bit. Oh, good, good, good. The house and the servants within it should be considered at your disposal so long as you are taking on this task. Though I will say most of us will leave to our own quarters once the clock strikes 8. At that point is typically when the monsters start stalking about, and it is not safe for anyone who is not trained in some sort of self-defense to be walking around.
Well, that sounds very fair. Can we get this boy a bath?
I'm going to need a good scrubbing. Yeah.
Also, Master Horace, do you happen to know if Lord Jobim had any blank dry jewels?
Well, I am not familiar too much with the monster training arts. You might try the master's study. He might have something in there along those lines.
Rowan immediately perks up. Books?
Oh, yes. He was a great collector of literature and scholarly research.
Excellent.
Well, heroes, that's it for One Shot this week, but don't worry, we'll be back next week with more Magimonsters. In the meantime, if you're looking for another great gaming-related show, check out our newest show on One Shot, Design Doc. On Design Doc, game designers document their process from inspiration to finished product in a podcast that uploads every other Tuesday. Our first season follows Hannah Schaefer and Evan Rowland as they create a new edition for their very first game, Questlandia. Meanwhile, on the One Shot stream this week, we're wrapping up the Warda anthology series, Warda Glimpses, with a big finale that includes guest stars, Mel, Pranks, and myself. That's Monday at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. If you're a fan of Warda, if you've never watched Warda before, please come check us out. It is going to be fantastic. Then Tomb of Annihilation returns on Thursday, Friday, and a finale on Sunday. Coming up next week on the 30th, One Shot is streaming an exclusive first look at Monty Cook Games' Invisible Sun. Darcy Ross will guide Cat Cool, Alan Linick, and myself through Invisible Sun's unique character and world-building system. This is going to be the first time that anyone anywhere outside of Monty Cook is going to see this, so you don't want to miss it. You can find all that and more at twitch.tv/oneshotrpg. As a reminder, our Twitch schedule is going to be much lighter in November because we are attending a ton of conventions, with Metatopia in Morristown, New Jersey, the 2nd through the 5th, Akatacon in Dayton, Ohio, the 10th through the 12th, and PAX Unplugged in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the 17th through the 19th. As always, we end One Shot with a call to action. And during the Dungeon Dome, we supported the American Center for Immigration. So I want to talk about passing a clean DREAM Act. In September, Trump rescinded DACA, threatening over 800,000 undocumented young people with deportation. The declaration gave Congress until March of 2018 to pass a legislative fix or equivalent to DACA, or else those currently protected would face rapid deportation. The most robust legislative fix is the DREAM Act, a bipartisan bill originally drafted in 2001 that not only provides protection and work permits to roughly a million undocumented immigrants, but also provides a path to citizenship. Despite momentum building on both sides of the aisle to swiftly pass the DREAM Act, Trump has introduced a list of expensive punitive demands that he wishes to be coupled with the approval of the DREAM Act or any similar DACA protection. This includes full funding for his insane border wall. Though Democratic leadership has held firm against these egregious political demands, any new negotiations on what should and should not be included in a DREAM Act approval could delay or even derail its passage, putting the future well-being of thousands of young people at risk. That is unacceptable. But you can do something about it. And that something is calling your representatives. Now, I found this issue summary, along with contact information for my representatives, and a script to read while I'm on the phone at a site called 5calls.org. That's the number 5calls.org. It's the best tool you can use to get involved in issues you care about. Calling is easy, it doesn't cost anything, and it can have a major impact on different political issues. One Shot is a proud partner in the Chicago Podcast Co-op. If you're an advertiser looking to reach an engaged Chicago audience, be sure to contact the co-op about advertising opportunities. And if you're a listener who wants to find a new show, check out Campaign. It's like three men and a baby in space played using the Star Wars Edge of the Empire role-playing game, hosted by the incredibly talented and ever-patient Kat Kuhl. As always, a big thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about the show. You can also leave us a rating or review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. If you want to hear more from the show, be sure to follow us on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod. Check out our Tumblr at OneShotPodcast.tumblr.com. Check out our Google Plus community. Or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you're looking to inquire about advertising rates, live appearances, and commissioning episodes, or you have a question or comment about something you heard on the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a joint production between Peaches and Hot Sauce and Paracosm Press. Peaches and Hot Sauce is a Chicago-based comedy network with tons of great podcasts, videos, and live shows for you to check out at peachesandhotsauce.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Be Your Own Pet with Adventure, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes!